Thank you, appreciate the song services, morning, prayer.
I trust as we go forward this morning and in the service that we'll be much in prayer, begging on the Lord's goodness and mercies unto us. This morning, subject matter that's upon my heart and mind, and I trust that, is having a mindset to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
A mindset to serve the Lord. And I believe that the foundation for that is some of the things that we endeavored and tried to go over last Sunday, and taken for the text that we endeavored to do so there from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, where Jesus replied to the tempter, replied to the devil. Whenever the devil, the tempter, came to him, the tempter said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, Jesus, this is Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
Yeah.
So I believe that the foundation in having a mindset, in having a ready mind, in having a decisional mindset to serve the Lord is to think upon the example that Jesus gave and to have for our rule and guide as we live here in this life is that, "But by every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
Yeah.
I believe, brothers and sisters, that it takes more of a ready mindset to serve the Lord today than ever before.
Yeah.
A purposed mind, a ready mind, a mind that is stayed upon the Scriptures, a mind that is stayed upon the Lord. I want to set before you some verses of Scripture concerning the mind as the Lord blessed the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 12 and 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent, I won't be neglectful to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet." I think it necessary. I think it expedient, is what he's saying, "as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." In other words, the Apostle Peter is saying, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I live. Because
yeah.
He went on to say in verse 4, "I think it expedient," is what he's saying, "as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." In other words, the Apostle Peter is saying, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I live. Because
yeah.
He went on to say in verse 14, "knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me." Peter says, "I know there's going to come a time, and it's probably not in the too distant future, that I'll put off this tabernacle. My life here is going to end." Remember, the Lord foretold and prophesied and told Peter concerning that. And I think that's what Peter is alluding to here, talking about the death that the Lord signified, by what death that Peter should die. I believe this is Peter's referring back to that. But the point is, Peter is saying, the apostle is saying, I'm not going to be neglectful. I'm not going to be forgetful. I'm not going to be slothful. I'm not going to be lazy about it. But as long as I'm living, as long as I'm still here, my emphasis is to put you always in remembrance of these things,
right,
though you know them. The apostle says, you know these.
Right.
You've been taught. You have the present truth. And he uses that language. You're established in the present truth. But brothers and sisters, we can lose focus.
Yeah.
And we can lose that made up mindset. We can lose that decisional emphasis. You know, I know that the Armenian world uses that expression decision for Christ until we shy away from scriptures and language of God's word that teaches us concerning making decisions in discipleship. We don't make that decision far as to accept Christ or not accept Christ, to be born again or not be born again, as the world sets forth. That's not what we're talking about. But there are decisions that we make every day in the way of discipleship.
Yeah.
And we've got to have a made-up, ready, decisional, deliberate mindset to serve the Lord. You won't serve the Lord by accident. I tell you, you serve the Lord, it's going to be on purpose. Amen. It's going to be because you've purposed in your heart and God's given you the grace and the mercy, and because you're attending and you're giving heed and you're paying attention to the things that you need to be paying attention to, and you've got a made up mind to serve the Lord. Now, I know there's times that our quote unquote made up mind gets challenged. I understand that, and it don't seem to be as made up. Sometimes we have doubts and fears, sometimes for a fleeting moment, there's the thoughts that run through our mind, that carnal mindset where that old man is trying to push forward. Just surrender and just give it all up and just go with the flow. Well, I want to tell you, children of God, this morning, we can't do that by the mercy and grace of God. We've been blessed with the present truth. And we've been called with a holy vocation. And we're to be worthy of that vocation wherewith we have been called. And we must endeavor to continue to keep every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's the goal. That's the emphasis. I know we're going to falter. I know we're going to fail. But that's what we need to be looking at. Now, the Apostle Peter, he places great emphasis upon this. Put you always in remembrance. And there in verse 12, he talks about in remembrance. And then in verse 13, by putting you in remembrance. And then in the third chapter, the same epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now he's setting this up, and he's going to go into some specific things, but that's not what's upon our heart and mind to talk about, the specifics that he's going to go on into in verse 3 and through the remainder of this. But here's the principle that he is setting up for that particular study, and that the Holy Spirit of God is blessing him to pin down to give unto the Lord's people. But the precedent is set. The principle is the same here. and that which is established. And he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He says, your pure minds. He's on about that new creation, that holy mind from that new creature that is within you, that nature, Christ in you, the very hope of glory. And the very reason of this, to stir up your pure minds, is that you may be mindful. Stir up your pure mind that you can be mindful. So we need our pure mind stirred. Our pure mind motivated, prompted, so whereby that we can be mindful of the words that God has spoken in his word, that the prophets preached, that the apostles preached, that Jesus said. And that's what embraces, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Now, we have to, as I said, every day, sometimes many times through the day, we have to keep making that decision. We are confronted, and we have to keep going to the spiritual nature. Now, if you will remember, as Joshua, back in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, there in the 24th chapter, when Joshua is coming down to the end of his life, and he's setting forth before the children of Israel, and he starts in verse 14, and he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Notice this, fear the Lord. What is? You know, I think about the words that are in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, "He hath shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And so it's the same all through the scriptures. And this is what Joshua is saying to the children of Israel. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Serve him with a willing, ready, made up mind. Serve him in sincerity. Serve him on purpose. Serve him deliberately. Serve the Lord deliberately and in truth. Serve him sincerely with truth, and put away the gods, the little g's, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. This is the admonition that Joshua is given to them. And now notice what he says to them. "And if it seem evil, if it seem troublesome, if it seem a burden unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day." He's calling on them to make a decision. He's calling on them to make a decision. Not to, this don't have anything to do with the heaven and immortal glory. Has to do with their life right here. Has to do with their obedience. Has to do with their mindset. Has to do with their daily life. Has to do with their peace. Has to do with their happiness and joy while they live right here in this life. So he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." That's who he's telling them. Choose between. Notice that. He's saying, in other words, if you're not going to serve the Lord, then you choose between these different sets of gods. One is just as good as the other if you're not going to serve the Lord, because they're all little g's. They're all false gods. That's all a life of destruction. That's all the wrong road that's going to lead you to destruction. But notice what he said, "But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So they are confronted to make a choice. amen, far as in service to the Lord. And we are continuously, each and every day of our life, this mindset to serve the Lord or not to serve the Lord. You know, I think about the verses of Scripture that's there in the closing out of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse 13 and 14, where he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Notice the very conclusion of the whole matter is fear God. Is that not what Joshua started out with? Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. That mind, he's stirring up their pure mind. He's challenging their pure mindset concerning to serve the Lord, to keep the commandments of the Lord, to do what the Lord has said. And here, as we have the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. You know, the mindset of the world, the mindset of the natural man, the mindset that is carnal, that thinking is, I am my own man. I'm my own boss. I'm the center of my own universe. I'll do what I want to do. I want to do what looks good, feels good, tastes good, smells good. And it's all upon the carnal senses of the natural that it is based upon. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, and so forth. It's based upon those things. It's having the eye syndrome. It's not leaning upon that pure mind, that nature. And of course, only God's children can rely upon the pure mind. Only God's children can rely upon the spiritual mind, because it's only God's children, born again children, that has that mind. The wicked will never have that pure mind to be stirred up. All they will ever have is a carnal mind and a carnal mindset. But there's a lusting, there's a warring, there's an enmity in every born again child of God, whereby there's a warfare that's going on. There's a battle that's raging continually, and it's within our mind. And the forces that support the natural man, the flesh. When Scripture uses the flesh and fleshly, it's referring to that carnal nature. It's referring to that old man. The devil and this world, Antichrist system that is out here and all probe. Is prodding and gouging and pushing and fostering and encouraging your old man, that old nature, to act out and to go against God and go against the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and not to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. But we're reminded that the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, the sum and substance. The sum, S-U-M. The sum and substance, yeah, of it all is fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Your old nature, that flesh nature, that carnal nature, it doesn't like that, and it doesn't want to do that. It's contrary to that. But that's why, and that is why, by the grace and help of God, we need to walk and to live in the Spirit, that we won't mind the things of the flesh and of the flesh nature, but we can overcome it by the help and grace of God, and by taking the whole armor of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, that we can fight this very good fight of faith. Because as we said there in Micah, he has shewed thee, O man, what is good. God has taught us what is good. God's taught us what is acceptable in his word. There again, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's word teaches us. Amen. Through the prophets, through the apostles, through his son, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath made heir of all things. And of course, we know that Jesus preached his everlasting gospel. So we know what's good. We know what's bad. We know what's right. We know what's wrong according to God's word. But we need that spiritual walk and that spiritual mindset. In other words, living in that spiritual mind and making that decision to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth each day, and as the day goes by every day. You have to come back to it over and over. You have to revisit it and revisit it and revisit it. So what is good and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly. To walk humbly with thy God. Want to turn there in Galatians. There in Galatians chapter 5. We'll spend a few minutes here. A little more time than we have these other places. We've just been trying to lay down a foundation, if you please, an introduction. And I'd like for you to notice, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians, and we could start. We can start in the very first of this. But you know, the apostle is writing to them and having something to say to them concerning their departing from the sincerity and truth as it is in Christ, concerning circumcision and uncircumcision and so forth. He told them in verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, that's the setting here. As we read a little bit above it, and you read a little bit below it, and you understand that what the setting is and the context that this verse is in. But verse 7 can be lifted up and brought forth for anything concerning any doctrine, any practice, any order, any discipline, any admonition, any admonishment, anything along reproof, anything along correction, and say, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" They've been running well concerning what circumcision and uncircumcision. They've got it right to start with, but there have been some come along and taught differently. And you know, it's what this world will do to your mindset to serve the Lord. You'll have all kinds of discouragement. You'll have all kinds of individuals and things and different circumstances and situations that will try to hinder you, try to hinder your run. You know, we're running a race. We're running this race with patience. This race that is set before us. This race of life. Oh. And as the scriptures admonish us, he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" A lot of people, it could be family members. It could be co-workers. It could be different ones. It could be themselves. It could be not having the mindset, not having that mind of Christ to do the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great example. He always had a perfect mindset. I know he had no sin in him. He didn't have that old nature to contend with. We understand that. We, of course, have this Adamic nature. We have this carnal nature. We have this flesh nature. Remember what I said when you read in the Bible about flesh And carnal, it's talking about that old nature. Now there's places that will be different and will be in another teaching concerning fleshy. Fleshy, like fleshy tables of heart. That means feeling. That's different. Fleshy. It's not fleshly. A lot of people get that confused. And don't interchange fleshly and fleshy. Okay? Fleshly is having to do with carnal. It's having to do with the old man. Fleshy is talking about feeling. You know, like fleshy tables of heart, when he's talking about writing his law in regeneration in our hearts and minds upon tables, fleshy tables, tables with feelings. That's different. So I won't dwell upon that, but I just wanted to point that out in case you run across it or had a question about it. Right, so he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Yeah. Who's hindered you that you shouldn't obey the truth? Who's hindered you? You see, they wouldn't obey the truth about circumcision. But it can be about whatever in God's word that you haven't obeyed the truth. The scriptures call us to obedience. Certainly they do. Alright, so the apostle goes on down here through this. In verse 13 he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use liberty for an occasion to your carnal nature. A lot of things could be said about that, but we don't have time for that. That's another subject. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, here we're getting to the matter of the subject. This I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're having that mindset, if you're leaning upon the spirit mind, the new birth, the new creature mindset, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's what the Word of God says. I didn't say that and I didn't make that up. But this is what the Word of God says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No one has ever fulfilled no born-again child of God has ever fulfilled the lust of the flesh walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
I tell you, when we fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we do that, if we go in a way that we shouldn't go, if we falter, if we fail, it's because we're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. We're not in that mindset. We're not in that pure mind. We're not thinking that way. We're not walking that way. We're not walking in the Spirit. Now, if you're in something, I want you to think of it in the sense you're right slap dab in the middle of it. You're surrounded by it. If you're in it, you're surrounded by it. If you're in the water, you're surrounded by water. And you can be in the water and under the water. That means you're submersed in it. So we need to think of it in that sense. We're not talking about just 60% or 70% or 80% of walking in the Spirit. This text, what he's talking about here is 100%. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the same thing as walking in the Spirit, is walking in and on the narrow way.
Yeah.
Entering in at the straight gate and walking in that narrow way. And what does that narrow way, what does it do? It leads to life.
Yeah.
Not talking about it leads to heaven and mortal glory, but it leads to life. It leads to the peace and to the joy and to fellowship with God while we live right here in this life. And so he goes on and he tells us in verse 16, after he says in verse 17, after he has just said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Because the flesh lusteth. This word lusteth means warreth. There's a warfare going on. The flesh is at war with the Spirit. Your flesh nature does not work in harmony with your spirit nature. Your flesh nature and your spirit nature are opposed to one another. They are enmity to one another. They don't mix and mingle. You can't mix them. Oh, I want to tell you, in regeneration, there is a cleaned out place within your soul and spirit wherein abides a seed that cannot sin. Amen. Not saying that you can't sin, but that Spirit of God, that new creature within you does not sin. Now, we sin because we, from time to time, we're not walking in the Spirit. And when we don't walk in the Spirit, we can get in trouble. And we can sin in word, thought, or deed. And we do that. And we're just backwards and forth. It's like a pendant on a clock. We're just backwards and forth. And I guess this is one of the points right here. The more time you're in the Spirit, the better off you are. Amen. The more time that you be walking in the Spirit, the better off you are. If the pendant can be swung toward the side, if your mindset, if your consciousness, if your thinking, if your awareness can be upon the spirit nature, the better off God's children are. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit. Now, it's not just that the flesh wars against the Spirit, but then it goes on and tells us that the Spirit against the flesh. The Spirit wars against the flesh. It's not just that the flesh, it's not just that the old man wars against the Spirit man. I tell you, the Spirit man is warring against the flesh. It's the same. It's the same. Each one, that they're advancing against the other. Each one is either on offense or defense.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when the flesh is on offense, the Spirit is on defense. When the Spirit is on offense, the flesh is on defense. It's the way that they oppose one another. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. These oppose one another, the one to the other. They're contrary. They aggravate one another, if you please. That's why there's that raging. That's why there's that battle that is there for control of the direction of your consciousness, of mind, which mind that you are going to be exhibiting and manifesting, and that which is going to be proceeding forth. So these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke of that in Romans, saying, when I would do good, evil is present. Oh, and that I would not, that I do. I've often said, if you wanted to thoroughly confuse a psychiatrist, just go in, lay down on his couch, and start quoting those verses there from Romans chapter 7. I tell you what he'll diagnose you with. He'll diagnose you with schizophrenia. He'll diagnose you with dual personality. And you know, he'd be right. He'd have it right, dual. Because there is two. There is that of the flesh, and there's that of the Spirit that is within you. And there's that warfare that is going on.
Yeah.
But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law of the flesh. You're not under the law of sin and death in a manifested way. Thank God in a legal sense. When Jesus paid the price and said it's finished, God's people were set free. God's people were out from under the law of sin and death, the penalty of it. But oh, thank God, as we live here in this life and our mind is stayed upon the word, God's word, and upon the Lord and upon the scriptures, and we're not living by bread alone. We're not living by natural things. We're not focusing upon the natural supplies of ourselves, but our focus is upon the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, then we are be able to live by the word of the Lord and be pleasing unto the Lord if we are led of the Spirit. You are not under the law. You're not under the law of sin and death to manifest the works of the flesh. When you're being led by the Spirit, this is what we was talking about a few minutes ago. This is what he's saying here. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. The scripture is interpreting itself. It's going from this. If you're being led of the Spirit, then the works of the flesh are not going to be made manifest. But when you are not being led by the Spirit, then you are under that law of sin and death as far as you can manifest it. It can come forth. You can act out of it. And there can be these things that are mentioned now. And so let's just go into this. Notice verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Let's just stop right there. Let me ask you this question. When King David, we know he was born again. We know he's a man after God's own heart. We read of the evidences in the scripture. No doubt in my mind that he is a child of God. No doubt he's in heaven, immortal glory. But when he went through that process, that was a downward process in his mind concerning Bathsheba, and eventually committed that sin of the flesh, of adultery with her. He was not being led of the Spirit. He was not walking in the Spirit. He was not making that decision that deliberately, in sincerity and in truth, to serve the Lord. Now I tell you, brothers and sisters, Brother Joseph was walking in the Spirit. He was living in the Spirit at the time. He had a spirit mindset that was in the forefront. And whenever Potiphar's wife pressed him day after day and finally laid hold upon him and begging him to lie with her to commit adultery, what did he do? She had a hold of his coat. He just ran out of it and got away.
Yeah.
Now, who was walking in the Spirit? I tell you, Joseph was walking in the Spirit.
That's right.
David was not walking in the Spirit.
No.
Joseph was being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
King David at that time was not being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And that's the danger. If we are in that mindset for too long.
Right.
A few minutes is too long, much less hours or days. I want to tell you, there's too much bad that can happen in hours or days. It really is. We know that going back, it really had to be that David wouldn't walk in the Spirit for several days. Because it was at the time when kings went forth to battle. David didn't have a spiritual mind. That's why he stayed home. Now he had a spiritual mind that he could have had that mindset. He had that new nature within him. But he was walking in the flesh. He didn't go and lead the armies of God. So that's why I say there are several days there. He's not walking in the Spirit. He's not living in the Spirit. And because of this, his life is just going downhill until he hits bottom there. And he has an adulterous affair with Bathsheba because he's not living and walking in the Spirit. So the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do. Notice this now. Notice the wording. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what's he saying? He's saying that God's children that are living in a state of, that are doing, that are persisting in, carrying on in this, they're not inheriting God's kingdom. They're not in fellowship with God. And they're not going to enjoy the church kingdom. And they don't have right to the church kingdom when they're in that condition, when they're in that state.
Right.
Now, I'm glad this don't have anything to do with heaven and immortal glory. This kingdom of God here is not talking about the eternal kingdom, but it's talking about the kingdom of God here in time.
Right. Amen.
Here in time. But they which do such things, in this state of, in a continuance of, they're not worthy. They're not going to inherit. They're not going to have the fellowship. They're not. We will not have fellowship with God, communion with God, when we are walking in the flesh, when the works of the flesh are manifest. This is why the Apostle Paul, this is why he records and pins down and says that he brings the members of his body under subjection, lest when he has preached to others that he himself should be a castaway. Even the Apostle Paul realized that he could live and conduct himself in such a manner whereby the people of God would lose confidence in him, where he would be of no benefit, where he would be useless in the service of God, in the kingdom of God here in this life, and he would be as a castaway. Now, if that can happen to the Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, it can certainly happen to us. It didn't happen to the Apostle Paul, but he set forth that possibility. He set forth that possibility that it could happen. And that's why he guarded himself so. That's why we must shun the very appearance of evil. That's why we can't set anything evil before our eyes. That's why, brothers and sisters, that we can't flirt with the world. This is why that we can't compromise, that we can't let down, that we can't act like, look like, or smell like the world. We can't.
Amen.
We can't. Because this world will eat you up. The devil, and this is what the Lord said to Peter, Satan desires to sift thee as wheat.
Yeah.
I tell you, he desires to do it to every heaven-born soul. And I've said a lot of times, the devil ain't dumb. He knows he'll not have your eternal soul and spirit in hell, in an everlasting punishment. So therefore, he's going to try to bring as much hell to you in this life as he possibly can, and to try to get you into ruin and out of fellowship with God, and be out of fellowship with the people of God and so forth, simply because we do not walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and yield in such a way and go in that direction and be in that state and do these things, these works of the flesh. You know, God had mercy upon David. He certainly did. God had great mercy upon him. And I'm not going to take the time to go into all of that narrative after David had done the things that he did concerning Bathsheba, and then with Uriah, her husband, having him put in the forefront. First of all, remember how David hatched up a plan to try to fix matters? You Bible readers remember that. You know, that's the way God's people do. When they're out of sync, when they're out of fellowship with God, and when they've been walking in the flesh, and when they've done those things, they try to hatch up some kind of way of their own to fix matters, but it won't work. David didn't get cleared. That's the way God's people do. When they're out of sync, when they're out of fellowship with God, and when they've been walking in the flesh, and when they've done those things, they try to hatch up some kind of way of their own to fix matters, but it won't work. David didn't get cleared. David did not come back into a place of fellowship with God. He did not feel that cleansing power until it was all brought out. And of course, that was after the prophet had come to him. But this 51st Psalm is a Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And of course, Nathan had told him, said, "Thou art the man." And of course, all of the chastening and chastisement of God was coming down upon him. His very being, his very essence of him. And he came under that accusing of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was convicting him of his sins. And in that 51st Psalm, David starts out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be cleared when thou judgest." And you can go on and read all the rest of that. But this is David in his prayer of begging God and thanking God for his mercy and his kindness, whereby that God was not casting him aside and away here in a temporal, timely way. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that God has mercies upon us. But you remember this, that God is not obligated to have mercy. God wasn't obligated to forgive the way he forgave and to restore that heartfelt fellowship with David. God wasn't obligated to do that, but God chose to do so. And God acted upon David. And I tell you, brothers, that the goodness of God led David to repentance. Amen. It was the goodness. And that's why David started out talking about the goodness and kindness of God. Amen. The goodness and the kindness of God. But just look. Just look what he went through with there. Well, I tell you what, these last 20 minutes really got away. I want to go back there to Galatians. And there's a word here. One of these that's listed in these works of the flesh. There in verse 20. It's here and it's listed in this works of the flesh. And I certainly do not say that, and the scripture doesn't imply that this is a complete list of all the works of the flesh, but it's a pretty good getting you started, understanding what he's talking about here, and so forth. As far as this, what can happen when you're led by the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit. But this word, emulations, This word means to promote or to put yourself beyond, to try to go beyond, far as mirroring, trying to be like, or even more so. In other words, it's certainly in a bad sense. It's in the sense to imitate, to mirror, emulation. And when I think about this word, when he's warning God's people not to emulate or to mirror or to be like, not to be like the world and the things of the world, and in which that would be many things that would come under that, my mind goes to Romans chapter 12, which is very familiar, and I quote from time to time. But those first two verses, when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." Now what's under consideration? Body. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Our body is to be a living sacrifice unto God.
Right.
We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're not to emulate. We're not to mirror. We're not to look like.
Right.
We're not to follow after the course of this world. You know, there's plenty of scriptures that teach us concerning men and women and the distinctions and the differences between men and women and the importance of it. And I never dreamed of the day and time that would come in this country. And I don't mean to sound hard, and I'm not throwing rocks. God knows I'm not, but I believe I'm telling the truth. Wherein in this country, not only can you not tell men and women apart because of different things and so forth, but men are trying to appear and to look like women, and women want to appear and to look like men.
Yeah.
And men to become women and women to become men. Well, they can't actually do that.
No.
We know they can't, no matter how much they say. And when we've got officials in this country that don't know the difference between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Now, I think they really know, but they just don't want to admit it. Because it would go against their ideology. It'd go against their ideology. I want to tell you, all through this Bible, from the front of it to the back of it, God has made distinctions that man and woman is different and distinct. You know, man, God created man with his strong points. He created a woman with her strong points.
Yeah.
The woman and the man and wife, living together after God's holy ordinance. It's the best of everything.
Yeah.
And that's the way God designed it. That's the way God set it forth. And the Bible teaches that in the beginning made he male and female. God made male, God made female. And so this precedent is set. So God, from the very start and through, God taught the children of Israel, even for the women not to dress in a way that resembled the men, and the men not to dress in a way that resembled the women. He taught the children of Israel that. It comes over in the New Testament talking about dressing modestly and dressing in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord, as the scriptures teach us. You know, brothers and sisters, this is living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Is it not? Certainly it is. Why is it this way? Because it's the order that God established. And you've heard me say it over and over. God is a God of order. And when everything is in that order, it works properly. And it functions in the way that it ought to function. The world has taken and distorted that. And there's so much confusion. in our land today. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is not confused, and the Word of God is still relevant for today. The Scriptures are they're the newest, oldest thing around. Amen. You know, if I can say it that way, yes, they're old, but they're new. Amen. They're old, but they're new. In other words, they're still far today, just like they've always been. And this goes back to the rule. We believe the Scriptures of the Old Testament, that they are our only rule of faith and practice. That's why it's incumbent upon parents to teach their sons that they are males, that they are boys, and they're to look like boys and act like boys and grow up to be young men and take their place and to carry on as the Scriptures say and as the Scripture gives the admonition.
Amen.
And that little girls are little girls.
That's right.
And you know, that's why it especially these days need to be very careful, even to the smallest details and things. Fathers need to enact upon the boys in the family that fatherly influence upon them. Mothers don't need to just hover over them so much and baby them and pet them and lead them about in feminine type things. The father needs to take them and skill them and direct them and be the example before them in manly things.
That's right. Amen.
Now, you know, you want to talk about something hard to preach. This is what I'm talking about right now. It's hard to get out.
Yeah.
It really is. It's hard to preach out. I'd rather be preaching about heaven and mortal glory, but that's all right. Amen. But I tell you what, the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we have to be careful along these lines. We have to be careful with these things. So he says, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, be not conformed to this world. Do not emulate. Do not mirror. Don't be fashion-like. Don't be fitted to. Don't be frame-like. Don't be conformed to this world. This world should not tell you or dictate you how to live your life.
No.
You know, we're not going to get over there. So I'm going to go to a verse of Scripture that I don't know if a lot of people might not understand, and sure don't have time to. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." This is right in line and with what we've been talking about all morning. But verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." He that is spiritual. This is talking about the born-again child of God that has the spirit nature of God in him. What does this judgeth all things? He discerneth all things. And what do you do it from? From God's word. That is where you judge from. That is where you discern from. And you've got to be spiritual in order to do it. This world out here that is natural, this natural world and all the just natural people in it that's not born of the Spirit of God, all they've got is a natural nature, an Adamic nature, a corrupt nature. They cannot, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. They cannot judge, or they cannot discern between things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Have you ever wondered what that little expression right there at the end meant? Well, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, or discerneth all things, is teaching us that a born-again child of God should be judging or discerning things.
Yeah.
Yet he himself is judged of no man. What man? The natural man, the people out here, the people of this world, the you, it don't matter. It don't matter. The world out here don't matter. This is why we're in the shape that we're in this worldwide. It's because the leadership of this world, of governments and so forth, they're carnal, they're natural, they're wicked, and they cannot discern. They can't judge things. They can't discern things. So, don't worry, boys and girls, brothers and sisters. Don't worry. Don't say, well, what is my friend or my co-worker that they just live anyway and do anything and nothing matters and whatever they want to do, ever how they want to live, what they want to say, they just do it. What are they going to think about me? It don't matter what they think about you. It don't matter a hill of beans. No, it don't. And I got the text to prove it right there. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged for how they want to live, what they want to say. They just do it. What are they going to think about me? It don't matter what they think about you. It don't matter a hill of beans. No, it don't. And I got the text to prove it right there. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Yeah.
Now, our brothers and sisters can give judgment and discernment concerning us, concerning our conduct and our behavior in the house of God. We understand that. But in this context and what this is saying right here, yet he himself is judged of no man. There's no carnal man. There's no wicked that can judge or discern or to tell us or to influence us. In other words, the world is not to influence us. The world is not to frame us. The world is not to fashion us. And that's what he's saying. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to those folks that don't have the right to judge you. They judge. You're judged of no man. Talking about carnal man. And be not conformed to this world. You know, all. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to those folks that don't have the right to judge you. They judge. You're judged of no man. Talking about carnal man. And be not conformed to this world. You know, all through life, parents heard parents talk about, and their children would say to them, when their parents would try to teach them right or wrong, they would put up before them, well, what about so-and-so? So-and-so's mom and daddy lets them do this. So-and-so's mom and daddy lets them do that. It don't matter what so-and-so's mom and daddy lets them do. That don't have anything to do with it. Amen. I tell you what has to do with it is man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. There's more than bread. There's more than the natural substance in this life. There's things that we have need of. But we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added into us. Our natural food, our clothing, our shelter, our provisions here. You know, when the Lord and Peter owed the taxes, the Lord just sent Peter to go fishing. And miraculously, when he opened the fish's mouth, there was the money to pay the tax.
Yeah.
What is that showing? It's showing the miraculous provision of God. God will do the miraculous. God will intervene. God will bless his people when we do the right thing.
Amen.
Don't let anybody in the world pressure you into doing the wrong thing.
No,
it ain't worth it. Amen. I want to tell you, God will take care of his own.
Yeah.
And as Brother Joshua said, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
That was a made-up mind. That was a mindset. That was a purpose to live and to be led and to walk in the Spirit. Well, there's a lot more, but we'll stop there. Can't ever get it all told anyway. Lord bless you is my prayer.
Amen.
I love you for Christ's sake. And I pray the Lord would bless His word to you today. We'll select a song and stand together.
Thank you, God.